crisis, in crisis. That's the focus of this year's World Food Day observance, marked annually on October the 16th under the auspices of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, based here in Rome. While we in the West moan about the rising costs of a loaf of bread, a pint of milk or a pound of meat, for a poor family living on the edge of starvation in the developing world, rising food prices can mean, literally, the difference between life and death. That's the stark warning contained in a new report from CIDSE, the Brussels-based alliance of Catholic development agencies working for global justice. The report is published ahead of World Food Day and an upcoming food summit here in Rome next week. With around 1 billion people still going hungry, while about a third of our global food production is wasted or thrown away, CIDSE says it's high time to rethink the whole pricing, trading and distribution system to combat this crisis and create food security for all. Bernd Nilles is CIDSE's Secretary General.
From my point of view, the time has come to fundamentally rethink the global food system and also to create coherence in global food policies. Because we are facing fundamental threats to poor farming families and people today facing hunger. And this is not just an emergency situation. This is now, after observing the situation for so many years, CIDSE comes to the conclusion that there is something fundamentally wrong with the whole system. For example, we see a major threat to local food markets by the integration into global food markets to expose local markets to the global market without protecting them, for example, is a major danger.
So what are the most important changes that you're calling for? What kind of steps would you like to see taken in the short term?
It is crucial to looking at the changes we are aiming for. First, we need to acknowledge who are the people suffering and why, and what's the difference, for example, to us here living in the North. In the South, in developing countries, people spend up to 80% of their income for food, while in Europe, for example, it's somehow about only 20%. So when the food price is changing, also we in the North, we complain about it, but in fact, for people and families in the South, this is can come to a kind of a death sentence, can bring them into a very, very serious situation. So the food price issue is very important. In the last years, particularly due to the financial crisis and the financial market liberalization, we have seen a lot of speculation on with food. And by this, the food prices have, on the one hand side, they have increased. And as I said, this is a major danger for people, for consumers. Secondly, we have seen a lot of food price volatility. That means food prices go in a relatively short time, they go up and down. And that is a major threat to farmers who don't know how much money they might get for the harvest and if they are able to feed their families later on. So we need, from our point of view, to address food price speculation. For example, speculation with wheat, speculation with corn needs to be completely excluded from the financial markets, from speculation at stock exchanges, like in Chicago, for example. Secondly, because of high food prices, companies, business people, financial market people have a higher interest in food commodities, and they have a higher interest in buying land. So there's a lot of speculation on land also today. So we need to stop this so-called land grabbing. We need to agree this and next week in Rome when the FAO and the Committee on Food Security meet. We hope that they're going to agree on land guidelines which protect farmers from losing their land.
Do you think this is likely? Are you optimistic that there will be some agreement around this? Because, as you say, there's a lot of speculation, there's a lot of money involved in this.
You're right. There's a lot of money involved in it. And as long as we let the market forces play, of course, nothing will happen. But these days, due to the major impacts and of the financial crisis and the ongoing economic and financial crisis, heads of state today are quite busy in changing actually the frameworks for financial markets, to create frameworks to limit speculation. There is this discussion on creating a financial transaction tax to lower the negative impacts of speculation and harmful speculation itself. There will be new rules for financial markets, and we have commissioned a study with help of one of the major players at the German stock exchange. And he, for example, and his research institute confirmed very clearly that it is possible to change the situation. It's just a question of political will. And in Rome, I think it's very important that we have today this Committee on Food Security, which has a strong mandate to create more coherence. So it cannot be that we have, on the one hand side, food aid for East Africa for an emergent situation without addressing the root causes of the problem, why people are facing hunger.
As you say, it is largely a question of political will. These are important economic issues, but these are important moral issues too. In this sense, what else can the churches do? What else can ordinary people do to try and have an impact on this situation?
I met a while ago Bishop Gomez from Bangladesh, who works with very, very poor communities. And he told me, look, Bernd, my people in my community, they contribute heavily to the wealth your people in your country here in Europe are experiencing. Because we all know that the resources, the food resources, but also other natural resources we are exploiting for our wealth, are limited. And so we all know also that not everybody in the world could have an as high living standard as, for example, Europeans, as people in industrialized countries have today. And this is a major injustice, that a few people live in a relatively rich dome while others are living in extreme poverty. And here the church, from my point of view, really comes into play to again and again highlight this injustice and to call for changes also in the individual life of everybody of us, particularly those who are benefiting from the system today. I know that it's difficult for an individual to imagine what he and she could change to the benefit of poor people living far away. But in fact, it makes a big difference if I buy, for example, flowers from Kenya, where people at the same time are facing hunger and the land is taken by for flower production for the export market, or if I buy regional products. It makes a big difference when I go to a little supermarket in my little village and if I buy the apples from my own region, or if I buy the apples from overseas from the global food market. So everybody can make everyday changes, and the church, I think, can give here key guidance also to people to reach changes in their individual life, but also to governments to really come to strong decisions which really help. We cannot let these governments go away after so many years of seeing so many people starving around the world. And you know, we have exceeded beyond 1 billion people starving in the world. And this is, we call today, a crisis of civilization. And this is something the church can address.
My thanks there to Bernd Niles, Secretary General of CIDSE, the International Alliance of Catholic Development Agencies working for global justice.